Have you ever watched a pelican skim a wave? Not flying exactly, not swimming either. Just riding this invisible cushion of air a few inches off the water, wings locked, barely moving a feather, covering a mile of coastline on almost no effort at all. That bird figured out something engineers have been chasing for 80 years, and there's a company in Rhode Island betting a few $100 million that they can turn that trick into a business. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and you're listening to Clear Direct. Today we are going to talk about a machine that is not quite an airplane and not quite a boat and the strange, beautiful patch of physics it lives in. The company is called Regent. The vehicle is called the Viceroy, and it is an all-electric sea glider. Let's break this down. Before we get into the engineering, a quick word from the people who help keep this show on the air. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If there's a pilot in your life who just knocked out a rating, that is a gift that actually means something. AviationSoul.com. Okay, wing and ground effect. Every one of you who has landed an airplane already knows this phenomenon intimately. Even if you never gave it a name, you're on final. You cross the fence, you start your flare, and right there, in the last few feet, the airplane suddenly does not want to quit flying. It floats, it gets buoyant, it feels like the runway is pushing back up at you. Every student pilot has ballooned a landing fighting that cushion. That cushion is ground effect. Here's what is actually happening. A wing makes lift by pulling air down and over the top and pushing it down off the trailing edge. That downwash and the swirling vortices that spin off your wingtips are pure waste. They are the price you pay for lift. Aerodynamicists call that price-induced drag. But when your wing gets close to the ground, roughly within one span of the surface, the ground physically gets in the way of those wingtip vortices. It blocks them from fully forming. The downwash flattens out, and your induced drag collapses. Here's what most people miss in the flare. Ground effect is a nuisance. It is the thing that makes you float past your touchdown point. But flip it around. What if you never left ground effect at all? What if you designed a vehicle to live down there permanently in that cushion? Now that waste heat becomes free money. A wing flying in ground effect can be dramatically more efficient than the same wing up at altitude. Depending on who you ask and how you measure it, you are looking at a lift-to-drag improvement on the order of 30, 40, even 50% in the sweet spot. The wing does more with less. And when your energy comes from a battery, and batteries are heavy and stingy, that efficiency is not a nice to have. It is the whole ball game. The data tells an interesting story here. The Soviets figured this out back in the 1960s. They built these enormous machines called ekranoplans. The most famous one, the Western press nicknamed it the Caspian Sea Monster, was a 500-ton beast, the length of a football field that roared across the Caspian at 300 knots, 10 or 15 feet off the water, invisible to radar. It carried missiles. It terrified NATO analysts who could not figure out what they were looking at in satellite photos. And then mostly, the whole idea died. Why? Because ground effect vehicles have always had two brutal problems, and this is the honest part of the story. Problem one is waves. If you're flying 15 feet off the water, a 15-foot swell is not weather. It is terrain. It is a wall. The old ekranoplans needed relatively calm seas, and the ocean does not care about your schedule. Problem two is control. Flying that low, that fast, with a wing that behaves differently, the instant its height above the surface changes, is genuinely hard to do smoothly. Pitch stability and ground effect is its own peculiar science. Get it wrong and you either climb out of the cushion and lose all your efficiency, or you touch a wingtip and cartwheel. The Soviets lost aircraft doing exactly that. So for decades, wing-in-ground effect sat in the museum of good ideas that never quite worked. Fascinating physics, no business. So, what changed? Why is a startup in Rhode Island revisiting a Cold War dead end in 2026? Three things changed, and this is where the engineering gets clever. The first thing is the hydrofoil. The Regent Viceroy does not sit in the water like a flying boat and then muscle its way up onto the step. It has retractable hydrofoils, little underwater wings, the same idea as a foiling sailboat or an America's Cup boat. At the dock, it floats on its hull like a boat. As it accelerates, it rises up onto those foils and lifts the hull clear of the chop. Now it is skimming on two small struts, and the ride is smooth even when the surface is not. Then, once it is fast enough, it lifts off the foils entirely and settles into the air cushion, into ground effect, and flies. Those three modes, floating, foiling, flying, are the key. The foil is what lets it handle real sea states. Regent quotes something in the neighborhood of being able to operate in wave heights that would have grounded the old Ekranoplans cold. The foil takes the beating so the wing does not have to. The second thing that changed is fly-by-wire and modern flight control computers. Remember problem two, the twitchy control at low altitude? That is a computer's job now. The Viceroy has a digital control system constantly managing height above the surface, pitch, and speed. A human is not hand-flying a 5-ton machine 15 feet off the waves by feel and prayer. The computer holds the cushion, the operator commands intent. This is the same shift we have seen across all of aviation, and it is genuinely the thing that makes the low-altitude regime survivable. The third thing that changed is the electric powertrain. And here is a lovely piece of systems thinking. Electric propulsion has one giant weakness for aviation, which is energy density. Batteries hold a tiny fraction of the energy that the same weight of jet fuel holds. That is why a clean-sheet electric airliner is so hard. We have talked on this show about the brutal battery math that boxes an electric flight, but wing and ground effect hands you back a big chunk of efficiency for free. The regime is so much more efficient than climbing to altitude that the weak battery suddenly has enough. The two technologies cover for each other's weaknesses. That is not an accident. That is the entire design thesis. Regent looked at the electric range problem and said, "We will not fight it with better batteries. We will dodge it with better physics." So what does the actual machine look like, and what does it claim to do? The Viceroy is roughly the size of a regional aircraft. Call it a wingspan around 65 feet. It is designed to carry 12 passengers, plus 2 crew. It runs on today's lithium-ion battery technology, not some promised future chemistry, and Regent is very deliberate about that. Their quoted range on current batteries is about 180 miles, cruising somewhere around 180 miles an hour. They talk about a longer range version later if and when batteries improve, but the pitch is built on batteries you can actually buy right now. And the mission is coastal. This is the part that I think is genuinely smart. Regent is not trying to replace the airliner, they are looking at coastal city pairs, Boston to Providence to New York down the seaboard. Island runs in Hawaii and the Caribbean. The ferry route that takes 90 minutes by boat. They want to do it in a fraction of the time, quietly, with zero direct emissions, and, critically, without an airport. Because here is the regulatory judo. In the United States, a wing-in-ground effect craft that stays in ground effect is regulated by the Coast Guard as a maritime vessel, a boat, not by the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, as an aircraft. It operates from a dock, not a runway. The crew are mariners operating under maritime rules. That is a dramatically faster and cheaper path to market than trying to certify a brand new category of aircraft with the FAA, which, as anyone following electric aviation knows, can take the better part of a decade. That is the promise. Now let me be the engineer at the table and give you the honest cons, because I promised you balanced and I meant it. First, that maritime classification is a double-edged propeller. Yes, it is a faster path. But it also means these things share the water with boats, jet skis, swimmers, kayakers, and shipping traffic moving at 180 miles an hour, 15 feet up. The see and avoid problem on a crowded harbor is real. A boat doing 30 knots has time to sort things out. A sea glider closing at highway speed does not. The operational rules for how these integrate with marine traffic are still being written, and that matters enormously. Second, ground effect is a low altitude game by definition. You do not have the option a normal airplane has, which is to climb over the problem. Fog, traffic, a container ship, a whale, debris in the water. Your entire operating world is a thin slab of air just above a moving surface. There is very little room for error and almost no altitude to trade for time. The flight control computer has to be extraordinarily good, and it has to fail gracefully, because the margins are measured in feet. Third, the eternal one. Batteries. 180 miles is a real number, but it is a coastal number. It is not a network, and battery capacity degrades with every charge cycle. An operator running dozens of cycles a day, fast charging between runs, is going to watch that range shrink over the life of the pack, and battery replacement is a serious chunk of the operating cost. The economics live or die on charging infrastructure and battery longevity, not on the glamour of the vehicle. As I have said before on this show with electric aviation, the network usually matters more than the airplane. So where does it actually stand? Let me give you the honest timeline, because this domain is absolutely littered with beautiful renderings of vehicles that never carried a paying Soul Regent, has flown a quarter-scale prototype. More importantly, they have built and begun testing a full-scale human-crewed prototype of the Viceroy on the water in Rhode Island, going through the float, foil, fly progression. That is a real, physical, full-size machine doing real testing, which puts them well ahead of a slide deck. They have a large order book on paper, hundreds of aircraft claimed across various operators, and they have partners and defense interest, because a fast, low radar quiet logistics vehicle is obviously interesting to the military, just as it was to the Soviets 60 years ago. But a full-scale prototype on the water is not the same as a certified vehicle in revenue service with paying passengers. That gap is where aviation startups go to die. The honest read is that if the testing goes well and the Coast Guard framework holds up, you might see limited commercial coastal service in the back half of this decade. Might. That is a forecast, not a schedule, and I would hold it loosely. Here's what I keep coming back to, though, and why I wanted to spend a segment on this instead of the 10th eVTOL air taxi. Most of the future of flight money right now is chasing the sky. Go up. Go vertical. Go supersonic. Regent went the other direction. They looked down at that annoying cushion of air that makes you float in the flare, at the pelican skimming the wave, and they asked whether the most efficient place for an electric vehicle to fly might be the one place nobody was looking, just above the water. That is systems thinking. Do not fight your weakest component. Redesign the mission so the weakness stops mattering. Whether the business works, I genuinely do not know, but the engineering logic is sound and it is the kind of sideways thinking that actually moves this industry. The reporting on Regent's full-scale testing and specifications comes from the company's own published figures and from the trade coverage in outlets like Flying and AviWeb, and the ground effect physics is the same aerodynamics in any good performance textbook. If you want the links and a couple of pieces of the old Ekranoplan footage, which is worth your time, they are up at radiohangar.com. Next time you flare and feel that cushion catch you, think about the Pelican. Somebody built a company on it. I'm Vector. Keep the shiny side up, and I'll see you on the next one.